Why work from home when your office could be in Montana, where Matt and Mello are right now? 2021 will be the year to rediscover the outdoors. Mid-America RV is your gateway to adventure with their diverse selection of travel trailers, fifth wheelers, teardrops, and toy haulers. They have the right size RV for any vehicle, all covered by their exclusive RV warranty forever. Game days, remote work getaways, family vacations with the Millers are all better in an RV from Mid-America RV. Experience travel like you never have before. Find out more at MidAmericaRV.com. Well, Blake, welcome back
to
Two Guys, a Girl, and a Podcast. Matt and Mello are on vacation. I promise they will be coming back to work soon. There is a lot to cover with them out, but we will make do. And Blake, I got some feedback from people who listened to our Q&A, and they were very impressed with your first time on a podcast. And they weren't people that are related to us or are people that know us very well. This was a random stranger who messaged me and said that. And then also I was on another podcast, and the host of that podcast said that you did a great job. So now you're back. Are you excited to try your first podcast? It's not a Q&A.
I'm very excited to try and give my own takes, and I'm very excited to be back on Nepotism the Podcast.
Nepotism the Podcast. That's what we'll start calling it. But before we get started, we do have to plug our presenting sponsor, Manscaped. Two Guys 20. You guys know the drill. Go get 20% off. Keep things cleaned up. Don't have any ball jokes right now. We're just going to move past that. As a sibling podcast, we're going to move right past that. It has
Speaking of balls,
MLB All-Star Week. We've got NBA Finals. We've got a sport I never watched before and made the mistake of watching this past weekend. We've got names being said wrong that we've been saying for a really long time that we will cover. So we are getting to it all on today's episode. But first, let's start with your favorite sport, also one of my favorite sports, baseball. This weekend was All-Star Weekend, and for a sport that has been in the headlines for, I don't know, sticky situations and things that, you know, aren't super exciting about the game itself, they really made up for it this weekend with All-Star. So I just kind of wanted to get your MVP of the All-Star Weekend. Mine personally is the league, because I think it really put the league on a good stage. The Midsummer Classic was great. It was actually good content for the first time in a while, and having had a year of COVID and dealing with a lot of the stuff that the league has this year, I think this was a huge, huge weekend for them and a big win for them in a big way. But Blake, who is your MVP of the All-Star Weekend?
My MVP is Pete Alonso, just because that man, all he did was just rake, and he didn't look like he was trying at all. Like, he was having a good time. He was having fun. Like, every hitter during the Home Run Derby, after they were done, they looked gassed. Like, Pete was just, like, dancing to the music that they were playing, just having a good time, and, like, he's built for Home Run Derbies. I think he should be in it until the end of time.
Yeah, he should. I tweeted, I think he should be in it till he loses. The other thing that you told me, actually, was that what he made for winning the Home Run Derby is more than he makes in a season for playing baseball.
Yeah, baseball players do not get paid a whole lot on their rookie contracts.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's huge that he was able to do that in a day. All in a day's work, I guess, just making money. I mean, you and I enjoyed it very much, but it was just so entertaining to me that, like you said, like, even Shohei Ohtani was, like, pretty gassed after his go-around. I think it was with Soto, right? And,
yeah.
He was tired, but also then he goes and pitches, and he was great. You know, I think greatness translates to any language, and I will just leave it at that. But something that I don't do is watch UFC fighting. I also don't watch boxing. Fighting, to me, I'm just very squeamish. You know this. I can't even talk about injuries. Like, the Kevin Ware injury still gives me nightmares to this day. Paul George. I remember seeing them, and, like, I cannot get those. There was, like, an Olympic athlete a few years ago who was a gymnast, and he broke his leg. And I honestly, like, almost passed out on the job because I was so disgusted by the injury. So, work in a weird field to be very squeamish. But this past weekend, Conor McGregor was fighting, and I was like, okay, you were like, I want to watch the fight. I'm like, all right, sure, I'll watch the fight with you, okay? And this is why I don't do it, because Connor just like snapped his leg, and it also lasted for like, what, 10 minutes of fighting? And as someone who watches more UFC fights, is this more common than not? Because I feel like the last couple of fights, what was the other fight where there was like a bad injury? Do you remember? I think it was a McGregor fight, wasn't it?
No, I don't think it was a McGregor fight. But there's been a lot of brutal injuries over the past like few UFC fights. But I'm always willing to watch UFC, and that's just a part of it, is those gruesome injuries. Even there was a girl who had like a gash on her forehead.
I saw that, and it was like an indent. It looked like a mouth on her forehead.
Yeah, that's what happens when you have grown people just beat the crap out of each other.
Now, I want to take a poll, and I want to know, the people that listen to this podcast, please respond to the link after you listen to this. Do you guys pay to watch fights? Are you going to continue to pay to watch fights because they seem to be very, very short-lived? Like, we watched like the whole, basically the whole card. We watched a bunch of them. Probably the last like couple leading up to it. And there was one particular person that got their butt whooped, and we were happy to see it. And if you're an NFL fan, you know exactly who we're talking about. But we're not going to give them any more time on this podcast. But I'm curious if people are still going to continue to watch fights. My guess is yes, because I didn't realize like how big of like a spectacle it is. And maybe that's just because like I can't personally watch it. But I watch it to see who's like in the front row and see who's going and watching fights. Like, people really do love it. Like, I mean, we saw that Kourtney Kardashian was in the front row. There were a bunch of other people that were in the front row, but that was the one that stuck out to me. But I'm just curious if people are still going to watch fights. I think the answer is going to be yes, but I mean, you're going to continue watching, right?
Oh, without a doubt. Prize fighting is one of the best spectacles in all of sports. It's been happening since the Romans, if you really want to think about it. But
everyone buff over here.
Yeah, everyone wants to see just two people beat the living crap out of each other.
It's true. I mean, except for when I can sort of watch it until someone snaps a leg and then like goes to pick it up and it's just like whatever. I don't know if it was like his ankle. I saw the picture.
It was like a shin.
Twitter. I just cannot. Like, you were like, hey, oh, we picked up his leg, and I was like, stop talking. It was the most dramatic thing. I honestly, next time I watch a UFC fight, I almost said UCF, that's where my brain goes. I will record myself, because honestly, the reaction to that was just like, I had to leave. I was like, tell me when it's over.
Yeah, she ran out of the room. She's not joking.
I couldn't do it. So that might be the next thing that we do, is like, will you watch the fight again? And then I'm like, yeah, I'm going to subject myself to watching the fight. I'll record myself, and we can see how dramatic I actually am, as if people don't know on this podcast. Something that's not dramatic is correcting people when they say your name wrong. Okay, so let's start with the fact that our last name is Kuhn. I'll say it again. Kuhn. And it is very difficult for people to say. It's four letters, very difficult for people to say. I understand it. And for a while, I just never corrected people. I was like, oh, whatever. It's not a big deal. But then it just like made me cringe every time I heard them say it wrong. So I started correcting people. And I think we should normalize the fact that, you know, you should correct people when they say your name wrong. And the reason I bring this up is because Travis
Kels
is how you say what we know is Travis Kelce. I mean, he said it's a nickname or whatever, but how you say his last name is Travis Kels. Now, we have been going years saying Travis Kelce, and our guy Mello obviously is a really big Chiefs fan, and he said Kels originally, and someone corrected him and made it Kelce. So, I mean, I just can't believe it took this long for it to come out. And part of me was like, is this a joke? Like, is he kidding? But do you think it's fair for people to correct names? And also, especially if you're an athlete, like, I think even it was Tyrod Taylor where he was like, it's Tyrod, not Tyrod. Like, there are people that if they correct you saying your name, I don't think it's rude, but
like Saquon and Saquon. I think it's fair when you're on that big of a stage to be like, hey, this is how you pronounce my name.
Yeah. Like Najee.
Yeah.
Najee.
Exactly. Like, you already mentioned it, but, like, I also did the same thing growing up. I think I got it a little more because, like, your girl, so it's like kind of just like Paige. But like growing up playing baseball, everyone called me Coon. It was like, oh hey,
By your
Coon,
last
what's up?
name?
Yeah. Everyone just called, and I'm like, that's not how you say it, but like I'll just roll with it, whatever. And like everyone's like, why didn't you correct me? And I was just like, man, I've corrected people so many times, you just get tired of going, hey, like
Yeah,
that's not how you
exactly.
say
But
it.
I
You're like,
think too,
at
we
this
should
point,
be
you're like,
mindful
whatever.
as people. Someone corrects you, try hard to say it. And this is the other thing, is I know someone's gonna come for me because I am the worst at butchering names. Like if I could hear it a million times, especially NFL names. I don't know what it is about NFL players that I just like butcher their names constantly, even on this podcast. And I can tell you every time that I have messed up someone's name on this podcast, I one have like reminded myself and will never do it again. But I always feel so bad, and I feel like I owe that person an apology. Maybe it's just the guilt because I know how it feels when someone butchers your name. I'm sure people don't care that much, and maybe I'm just being too sensitive, but it is something, which is true. But I just was like, I can't believe that we've gone this long, and it took him this long to correct. I mean, who else are we doing that with? I wonder if this starts like a movement of people, correcting people on their names. I mean, I already had someone that's a sports writer in the industry like quote tweet me and be like, yeah, this is actually how you say my last name.
That's wild. I mean, hopefully people come out and actually start saying, hey, this is how you pronounce my name. Because, I mean, people should try hard to say your name right. Because, like, I always hated it, like, when you tried to correct someone from saying your name, and they're always like, eh, whatever. And I'm like, oh, cool, thanks. That's just,
That's
like,
rude. I'll beat
my
up
name.
that person. Someone did that to you?
Yeah, when you, tr if, like, I've, like, done it multiple times with people. And it's not even like my own name. It's like they're talking about other people, and they'll be like, actually, it's this, how you say it, whatever.
I also hate when I'm being corrected, so I understand that, but at the same time, now I'm gonna be more mindful of it because it happened to he's one of the biggest stars in the NFL, and this is what we're dealing with,
Yeah, he's a
which is
top 2, 3 tight end.
interesting. Who are the other top ones that you have on your list?
Kittle, and then I'm gonna throw Big Bob Tonyan on there just 'cause go Pack go.
Okay. So you'd rank him over Travis Kelce? Kelce, sorry.
No.
No? Okay. Would
No.
you rank Travis over George Kittle? Okay, good. I was gonna say get off my podcast now. Just kidding. We can have that debate when Melo gets back.
There's another name, Tunyon. Everyone called him Tanyan for the longest time, but he came out and was like, no, it's pronounced Tunyon.
Wait, really? I mean, I've
Yeah.
always called him Tenyon just because I have heard George Kittle and him are friends, and so I've heard him refer to him as that. But maybe we should have, like, I know, like, we put pronunciations in meeting guides. We are beating a dead horse with this topic, but still, I
Just have last names spelled phonetically on their
think
jerseys.
we should. Yeah, no. No, Twitter handles instead of that. No, but I do really think that, like, we should take a moment and let this have, like, live a little. And, like, if you have a grievance of how people say your name, you should put it out there and, like, we should try and figure it out. Post a video of you saying your name. It's like, the quarterback for Clemson, DJ Uiagalelei. Okay, his dad posted a
Gesundheit.
video. Yeah, his dad posted a video of how to say his last name. So now I know how to say it. Yeah, I definitely think that people should start posting videos of how you say your name and tag us in it. That'd be kind of funny, and we could try and say them. I think we should always make the effort. It's a respect thing. But anyway, Reggie Bush is going to have a documentary about the incidents that happened at USC, his Heisman being taken away, all of the things that came with that from him taking money and gifts. We've talked about this a little when you were on the podcast last with name, image, and likeness, the fact that Reggie wants his Heisman back. The director of this, I think, is the person that directed Dear Basketball, which was the Emmy Award-winning Kobe video. And I mean, this is very, very fascinating to me because this is going to be so unique. It's so different than any other documentary that I think we've ever really watched about stuff. Like, I know the Last Dance was so insightful because we got a really, like, we got to look behind the curtain. But this is unique in the sense that, like, there was legit punishment that had happened. And I think eventually we will see more of this. I do think we get, like, a years from now, a documentary that goes into the college basketball scandal and the actual what happened when some of these guys aren't coaching anymore and things like that. But with Reggie Bush, I mean, he can say this is how it all went down. This is what goes into this. It's safe for them to say that now because I think it's not going to harm the players that maybe were doing the same thing Reggie was and weren't getting caught. This is, I mean, I can't wait for this to come out. I don't know what platform it's going to be on yet, but I do think it's going to be very unique in the sense that it's giving you a look at something that was so frowned upon, but we all knew was going on, and exactly the details of how it was going on. Because, I mean, we start to learn bits and pieces about this years later, like the Tennessee one with the money in the McDonald's bag or whatever, but I cannot wait. Like, I could, honestly, this is going to be more juicy than any other dramatic storyline about USC and Texas, and I can say that because Matt and Mellon aren't here, but it's bigger than the on-the-field stuff, and the fact that we're seeing this come out now, and hopefully, I mean, by the time this documentary comes out, I hope that Reggie's Heisman has been given back and things happen. But as someone who didn't necessarily remember him winning the Heisman, or, you know, haven't really, I mean, you've seen the ESPN 30 for 30, but what is sort of your thing that you're most looking forward to coming up in this documentary?
I'm excited to see how much the NCAA like did, because I love sports documentaries that make the governing bodies not look good. Like one of my favorite documentaries is Screwball, which is a baseball one about the like steroid scandal with like Ryan Braun and Alex Rodriguez, and they make Manfred, who wasn't the commissioner at the time but now is the commissioner, they just like he ran the investigation, they made him look like he was dumb. And I'm excited to see like how much the NCAA like did in this situation, and kind of I'm excited to see them as a bad guy, because I know Reggie Bush is not going to approve this documentary if he's not portrayed well.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing, too, is that there might be new stuff that we learn. I think there will be new stuff. Like, I know that he got caught for certain things, but I'm sure there's stuff that they missed that maybe he will cop up to. Like, hey, I also got this. Because, again, now it's acceptable. Like, you can do those things with a contract and all
this. We all knew it happened. Like, yeah. Like, even, like, when I was growing up, the big scandal was Cam Newton. But, like, everyone knew it was happening. Like, so many people get paid to go to school. Like, the, I want to say it's Pony Excess was the documentary that talks about, like,
SMU.
Yeah, where it was literally just boosters who wanted water cooler talk to say that their alumni was, or that their school was better at the football than the other Texas school. So every Texas school was paying players.
Yeah.
I think, like, everyone knows the people are getting paid, and I'm kind of excited to see how people use name, image, and likeness to kind of get around that, and make it like legal-ish.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see like if there's more details that come out, and I'm excited to see it in all details, because I don't really know too much about it. I said on the last podcast, I was 6 years old when he won the Heisman. I was actually 5 years old. I looked it up.
Oh man.
But I'm very excited for this documentary.
Yeah, and I said, I don't think Reggie would agree to this. I mean, I do think that he's going to have to cop up to the fact that, like, yes, those were the rules and this was wrong. But now that it is a thing, I mean, I think it will be, even for, like, non-college football fans, I think the idea of a scandal that happens like this is definitely going to be interesting. I know you and I have both watched the HBO documentary on the basketball scandal. I think it was called The Scheme or something like that. That also was a documentary that made a governing body look silly.
Something was the FBI.
But, I mean, we don't know. That was obviously one point of view of that situation. I'd be very curious to see in years from now, like I said, when some of these guys, and I mean, some of these players need to filter through the system as well and need to end up in the league or wherever they're going before they really divulge a lot of the information. I'm very curious to hear from a player's perspective of, like, what was going on. Also, players' parents, because a lot of it is, like, there is a huge black market for, you know, players and going to Nike schools, Adidas schools, all of the above. And it wasn't just the ones that were punished, too. There was a lot of information on ones that weren't punished and ones that people just looked over because they had, you know, the greatest college basketball coach ever on their staff, who's retiring next year. So we'll see if information continues to come out about that. But sorry, I just can't stand
it. We just don't want to name names.
We just don't want to name names. And Zion was paid, everyone. Okay.
By Clemson, and then said, "Nah, I'm going to Duke."
Yeah, that was the worst.
I respect that move so much because, like, what is Clemson going to do? Hey, he took our money.
Exactly.
Like, no.
Yeah, there is a rumor that, Clemson, which he was choosing between Clemson and Duke. And we at Bleacher Report had a bunch of graphics ready, everything. We thought he was going to Clemson. I think so did Clemson. And there was a rumor that he took money from Clemson to go there and then ended up not picking them. And I don't know if, I mean, he could have given the money back. You don't know. That could have just been a last minute decision where, like, Duke could pay more. This is all speculation, by the way. Allegedly, and I do want to know because there is some truth to some of this stuff. So I do want to hear more about this. So that's the next documentary that I would pitch is Reggie Bush. And then I would like the basketball scandal one. I know it's going to take some time just because, like I said, people sort of have to filter out of the system before it's an issue. But I legitimately cannot wait to see this doc. And I think it's going to be phenomenal and really give us an insight into how some of this stuff works that we've known about. And it'll be interesting to see what people break rules in terms of NIL, because I do think that some of this stuff is new and difficult to navigate a little bit. And I do think we will see kids sort of get in trouble for some stuff, but I'm curious to see, you know, if they can learn from mistakes on this front. So this week is another golf major, and you know I love golf. If you listen to this podcast, you know I love golf. You know other people on this podcast absolutely loathe golf. But there was a discussion this week about this specific major that is played overseas, and the name of it, I called it the British Open for a really long time, because there's obviously the US Open, this is the British Open, that's what I thought it was. Apparently that is extremely offensive, and it is called the Open Championship. What did you call it? Like,
I always called it the Open Championship because what it was on like all the commercials and stuff when I was a little kid. Like, that's all I can remember it being called.
Okay.
But when I talked to people about it, everyone referred to it as the British Open.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was either or.
This is sort of like the name thing. Like, if the people who run this event, obviously the PGA Tour and things like that, if they want to call it the Open Championship, that is fair. I will now refer to it as the Open Championship, but I will admit to the fact that I've called it the British Open. But also, I don't know that it's as serious as, like, your name that's given. But again, tradition is, like, a huge thing in golf. And I think it was Dustin Johnson who they asked, and he was like, "Yeah, I called it the British Open." And they were like, "What do you call it now?" And he's like, "The Open Championship." And he's like, "Why?" It's because that's what it's called. And I was like, fair enough. Like, all right, given the most direct answer, the most DJ answer of all time. But do you have any picks or predictions for who's going to win it?
I don't know. I never really like to make golf predictions because there's just such a wide field. All I want is just
let's DeChambeau to lose. Would you take Brooks Koepka versus the field?
I would take Brooks Koepka versus the field. Yeah, I'd take him versus the field. Brooks over everybody. Especially the Chum Bucket.
The Chum Bucket. That's a new one. I haven't heard that name.
Yeah, no, I don't like him.
This is a random thing, but some reporter asked him about not yelling four. Because obviously if you've played golf, been around golf, you know if something's going somewhere where it could potentially hurt someone or hit someone, you yell four. Well, there's a bunch of videos of him not yelling four when things are going, like, straight for crowds, and people have called him out for it. And leave it to, like, the British press to be like, "Hey, by the way, how come you don't say four?" Like, it was so direct, and he's like, "That's a very controversial topic you brought up." I'm like, you thought the U.S. media was bad, okay? You thought we were critical of Bryson? Look out, buddy, because those people have zero boundaries when it comes to criticizing people publicly and asking questions.
Ruthless.
It's like, what's that guy's name on The Independent, on Ted Lasso? What's his name?
Trent Crim, the Daily Planet.
Yes. Oh, the Daily Planet?
No. It's The Independent, but the Daily Planet is from Superman.
Man,
that's where he works.
Oh, okay.
Ted Lasso makes that joke. Right. Come on, Paige, get the ref.
Sorry, I didn't watch it twice like you did, but season 2 is coming and I'm very excited. Maybe I'll watch season 1, binge watch it before season 2 comes out. We will be doing a Matt Miller Don't Know This. We will be discussing Ted Lasso on this podcast. So if you are a Ted Lasso fan, tweet at Matt and Mello. They did this when I was gone. If you would like us to discuss Ted Lasso or give your takes on Ted Lasso, tweet at Matt and Mello and be like, hey, what do you think of Ted Lasso? And also we'll see if they listen to this episode if they know what's happening with everyone saying, hey, what do you guys think of Ted Lasso? All right, back to some football news, okay? We're saving one of our favorite topics for last, but how do you say it? Is it Saquon or Saquon? Isn't it Saquon? Now I'm afraid.
I thought it was Saquon.
It's Saquon. I thought it was Saquon. Well, okay, we need to figure this out.
We'll tweet now it. Everyone tweet at him. Tweet it Saquon or Saquon and be like, how do you say your name? We need to know.
I think it's Saquon, but if it's wrong, we apologize because, again, we're trying to get people's names right. This is difficult. See, it comes up often. Anyway, he is asked to be paid for endorsement deals in cryptocurrency. And as someone who is, like, trying to understand cryptocurrency, I know Trevor Lawrence signed with a company and like part of his payout was crypto or whatever. He's being paid in crypto for crypto to sponsor crypto. I don't even know.
Fair enough.
Are we going to keep seeing this? Like, Halpop, you're better at like the stock market and things like that. Do you think this is something we keep seeing? And is crypto like a thing that I need to be looking into, or am I already too late to the party?
Well, he's getting paid in specifically Bitcoin, which is arguably, like, the safest one.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's really, sorry, Hank's barking.
Our dog. He's being paid in Bitcoin and that's the safest?
Yeah, that is the safest, but I read an article about why he wants to do it, and it's okay. He said it's to create generational wealth, he thinks it's gonna be worth more in the future. Okay. Is what he's saying, but I'm not really a big fan of a currency that's not backed by any sort of government, so I personally would shy away from that, but I mean, true. he's only doing, the money he makes in marketing, and I think he's keeping his salary, in the US dollars.
Yeah, I think you have to. I wonder if the NFL
can. No, like, there's players who get paid, like, their salary is paid through Bitcoin. I can't remember the player, but...
What?
Yeah.
That's so crazy. What does that do in terms of, like, salary cap? Is it worth the same, like, value as the dollar? Like, I don't know. Like, explain it to me like I'm 5, okay?
I think what they do is they pay him, this amount of dollars worth of Bitcoin? Whatever that may be at the time. Okay.
That is so wild to me. That's such a foreign concept that I would not feel safe with, but I feel like there's definitely someone listening to this podcast being like, you guys are idiots, this is the future. And if that is you, I want to know, I want insight on this, because I know it's extremely popular, and I know even Bitcoin is like, what is it going for at this point? It's expensive still,
it's,
right?
Yeah, it's like tens of thousands of dollars.
Jeez. Okay.
I know. The first time I heard about it, it was like $300 when I looked it up, and now I regret my decisions in life.
That's always how it works with the stock market, though. It's like, oh, I almost bought that, and now it's skyrocketing. You see, I knew, like, Tesla or whatever. There's definitely things like that. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. We're not here to give advice on the stock market, but I am very, very curious to hear about this and see what else we should invest in, because we've now become very avid watchers of the stock market and interested in that. But I just thought it was fascinating that he came out with that, and I know Trevor Lawrence signed that deal as well, so I'm just kind of curious how it goes. I'm now going to look up what the cryptocurrency is that Trevor signed with and how much it is, because I'm curious how much it was when before the announcement was made and after, because I'm sure there is something behind that. Realistically speaking, like, you can continue to push up the price of it if guys keep sponsoring it like that, so I mean, they're not wrong. But it was just a very fragile situation. So definitely get some advice from somebody else before you invest in it. But that's something that just is very strange that has come into the football and sports world recently. Fascinating stuff. But something that I also am supporting today, Bucks and Six, just want to say, the series is even. Let's start there. But I do want to bring up on this podcast our someone who listens to this often. Her name is Michelle. She, before I had the episode of doing a Q&A, she was like, Paige, are you going to talk about Chris Paul? Because if you follow me on Twitter, you know that I was a Clippers fan when Chris Paul was on the Clippers, okay? And it was excruciating to deal with how critical people were of Chris Paul. It was rightfully so because he was flopping and complaining about things. But so many people hated him. There was no love for him. And then all of a sudden, he's on this young Suns team, and people are like, it's such a great story. This is what, you know, it's all about. And I'm like, what? Okay, so now all of a sudden we love Chris Paul. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. He's the point guard. I totally respect how good of a basketball player he is. That's not the thing in question here. It's just how wishy-washy everybody is and how everybody has, and I mean, even with the discussion I had with Matt and Mello, how, like, LeBron being the biggest flopper. Like, no, everybody forgets about Chris Paul. And the Suns were flopping in Game 4, and it was hilarious to see people tweet about, like, oh, did CP teach him that? And it's like, all right, now we're back to this. And I think even Michelle was tweeting about how everyone was praising Chris Paul, and then all of a sudden, Chris Paul just didn't show up to this last game. And it was extremely entertaining for me to watch because it was like, okay, this is the Chris Paul I know in terms of the playoffs, although he wasn't injured, so that's fair. And like I said, don't get me wrong. I do think Chris Paul is an incredible basketball player, one of the greatest to ever play the point guard position. Totally get that. But I just found it really entertaining that all of a sudden people are off that. Also, one last thing. I did pick the Bucks when we did a season preview on this podcast. And if they do win, bandwagon magic is back. So be ready for college football season because I will be bandwagoning your team. The Buffalo Bills didn't go as well, but hey, maybe we're back next year. Obviously, still rooting for the 49ers. But if you have a college team and you want me to bandwagon them, if this works out, just a heads up, be ready because I'm going to be tweeting about it, so get ready. But Blake, as someone who watches a lot of basketball, has a lot of Suns fans, friends, group chats about it, what were your biggest takeaways from that Bucks game 4?
My biggest takeaway was I'm glad Suns fans finally got to see the real Chris Paul in the playoffs, which is choking in big moments. As he turned the ball over with 30-something seconds left to basically ice the game. I am on the same boat as you. Like, I don't know where the narrative, like, switched on Chris Paul, but I still am of the belief that he flops too much. He whines. He's basically like a little LeBron, but like he's not as good. He's not as good to back it up. Like, LeBron's the greatest, arguably the greatest player of all time. Not gonna make that statement.
You're learning podcasting now because you realized as soon as you said that that was going to be something that people would clip out, take, and be like, this bro said, and not take any context
but,
from it.
And like, Chris Paul does the exact same stuff he does, and my thing is, like, I don't like him.
I don't like it.
I don't like it. But I was very ecstatic to see Giannis with that block. That block, like, that one play made the whole game. Like,
it made the series.
He guarded both of the players on the alley-oop. He was guarding Book.
The drive,
and then just turned around and blocked the oop. Like, it was insane.
Yeah, that and also, I mean, I mentioned this on the last podcast with Matt and Mello. Like, I'm so protective of Giannis because I think he is so, I mean, he did the thing where he stayed in the small market. Everyone told him to leave. Everyone told him to join a super team, whatever. And here he is performing and basically being the difference maker. Obviously, Chris Middleton, very much part of that. Our guy, Pat Connaughton, huge part of that as well. Shout out, Pat. But I think it's fascinating to watch, too, how people hopped on cheering for Chris Paul, but not as many people were as excited for Giannis. And I feel like we're going to see a shift because of the fact that, like, people are starting to really get to know Giannis. If you have not seen the video of Giannis being asked why he left early in the first quarter and in the last two home games, and him saying, I don't know how to say this politely, but I went to take a tinkle, I mean, you're missing out because it's probably one of the most, like, likable things. And this week in sports news, there's been a lot of conversation about, like, language barriers and whether or not people can be the face of leagues Giannis should be one of the main faces of the league, and sort of is in many ways, but he is so incredibly kind and respectful as a human being that that's obviously why I love him, his athletic ability, all of those things. But to just watch that interview and a guy who is like, well, how do you say this politely? Because I want to be polite. He's making the effort. We should make the effort on that end to know what other players are speaking, translator or not. This is definitely a tangent. But I do think that we see a shift and people really are starting to see the real Giannis. And I just, that's another name that people should really work on trying to say and getting that right.
What is it?
Yeah, I was just going to say, what did it... It was Charles Barkley, right?
I don't remember exactly.
I'm pretty sure it was Charles. But again, like, I just thought it was really great to see him just be the likable guy that he is. I saw also, if you listen to this podcast and you have children, I saw a reporter tweet that he gave his son, like, an iPhone so he could do the press conference, and they heard the theme song to Cocomelon. I have a lot of mom friends. I know if you have a child, you have heard of Cocomelon, and he's just so relatable. And I think we get so caught up in these guys that are controversial and whatever, that like, we should be showing some serious love to the guy who stuck with a team that, you know, he's been a part of his whole career and really like sticking it out and figuring it out with that, franchise. And it's exciting, and I really hope they win. Like I said, Bucks in six, and I will throw a party. Bucks in six. But yeah, I know we jumped around a little bit on this show today. I know normally we do a lot of football, but I wanted to play to Blake's strengths. He does know a lot about other sports. We are going to take a quick break, and then we are going to stick to football and rank wide receivers in the NFL. So we will be back shortly for that. All right, guys, we are back and are going to rank top wide receivers in the NFL. ESPN is doing like a NFL 100 type deal, and they're asking executives, coaches, players to pick the rankings of different positions. And I thought it'd be kind of fun for us to do our own. So I think we should maybe just have you do your whole list first, and we can start there, and then we'll go back and I'll do my list. So start from five up.
Okay, so my number five is DK Metcalf. Mm-hmm. I know that's kind of a controversial one, but I think he is just so athletic. Like, he is the size of a tight end, but can play wide receiver and is that fast. Mm-hmm. I think he's great in the red zone, and I think he'll only be used more as he goes on in his career. I think he's great. Number four, I have Julio Jones because he's the GOAT, but he is old. So
he is old.
That's why I have him at my number four spot. Number three, I have Stephon Diggs, which, how do you say
another
it?
Name.
We don't know. I have him. He is just unreal. And then the top two, I think, are very obvious. It's DeAndre Hopkins at number two, and then Davante Adams at number one. I will always have Davante at number one because go Pack, go.
Yeah, there's somebody you left off your list, and I'm curious why you would put DK on your list over a Tyreek Hill, say, or a Mike Evans, who essentially, like, was that before DK Metcalf was. You know what I mean? In terms of size, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. So I have DK over Tyreek because DK will always have his size. Tyreek will not always have his speed. He will age. He will get slower. And they are known for one, like, thing that they are... They have, like, one thing that they're amazing at. And I'd rather take the size over the speed.
Interesting. Size over speed. I don't know. I mean, I guess it would depend. But I feel like, yeah, that's fair. Fair enough. We're just going to overly use the fair enough. No, I think it was a solid list. And like you said, I am going to agree with you on the number one pick. But we'll start from the bottom and go up. I put Julio Jones at five. Like you said, he's old. Also, we haven't seen, like, Julio in a bit. So I'm very excited to see what he does with his new team. And I think we will get back to seeing Julio, if that makes sense. Next I put, I think it's Stephon Diggs, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to overthink everyone's name.
It's like when you say something too much that you just overthink it.
Yeah, exactly. What was
like
it?
Like just one word.
Plan.
Another Ted Lasso reference.
So hopefully people watch that show because, gosh, it's great. But I put Stephon Diggs. I just think out of all of the people that we're ranking on this list, he also fits into my feels category. You guys know how I am with people, and like the moment of the Minnesota Miracle will just always stick out in my head forever. So I'm going to go with him. And also the other thing is too, people were interested to see when he played with a quarterback that's inaccurate, which again, we just need to chill out on that. But he's proven to be sort of elite in the sense that he is playing with Josh Allen, who people obviously have said is not.
Well, I mean, he played with Kirk Cousins, like.
Yeah, and he was good. So,
and
like,
he was
that's
very
like,
good. Like, and then Case Keenum, like, he's never. That's why I put him so high. It's because he's never really had like a quarterback.
Okay, so we'll get to this once I get to the top. But and you're gonna hate me for this once I get there. So my number three on the list. Did I do six instead of five?
No, you did five.
Okay. We're gonna keep it real professional here, guys. I put Tyreek Hill. For obvious reasons. He's fast. Like, I don't know what.
Wow, he's fast.
Wow, he's good. And then, of course, my top two is the same as yours, DeAndre Hopkins. I hate that he plays for a team that is. That team just is not likable to me. It's not that I'm hating on Arizona teams, because it's strange that I lived there for a certain amount of time and don't really care for their teams, but having Kyler and DeAndre Hopkins really is painful for me. But it is what it is. Now they have JJ Watt. It's just, like, not fair. They're people that I like, but Kyler doesn't count. Hopkins and JJ Watt count as people I like that are on a team that I just cannot get behind liking. Obviously, Cliff Kingsbury falls into that category as well. But with Davante Adams, I do want to ask you this. He does have a really good quarterback that he is playing with. Since we apply that to Stephon Diggs, it's like he's playing with an inaccurate. Do we have to apply that to a Davante Adams where he is playing with, I mean, in your opinion, probably the best quarterback to ever play? Do you put Tom Brady over Aaron Rodgers?
In GOAT talk or most talented?
Most talented.
Most talented Aaron. Aaron can make any throw on the field. Okay. And then coming up on his heels is Pat. He might pass him soon.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. But do we have to apply the fact that, like, Davante Adams does play with...
See, I wouldn't because, like...
See?
He played in college with Derek Carr is my thing. Like, yeah. And he was super
talented. But Derek
Carr's
not necessarily a bad quarterback. Like, I know you and
okay,
I have had
now,
this conversation.
Okay, are we only talking about, like, elite quarterbacks or, like, good quarterbacks? Because there's a lot more good quarterbacks that people will call, like, bums. Like, Kirk Cousins, not terrible.
Look at this list, though, okay? Tyreek plays with an elite quarterback, or going to be considered an elite quarterback. I already consider him one.
Yeah, he is an elite quarterback.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is there for Davante Adams. Josh Allen could potentially be an elite quarterback and in that conversation. And I guess Julio Jones doesn't count, but he did play with a quarterback who... This is the one where I'm like, ugh. Do we consider Matt Ryan an elite quarterback? He's tier two elite?
Yeah, he's like Joe Flacco elite. Like,
oh,
that level.
Really?
Like that level. I
would give him a little more credit than that.
He's a poor man. He's a Kmart Tom Brady. Quick release, like, super fast, like, gets the ball out, but, like, nah. He's Kmart Tom Brady.
Okay, so, I mean, this is obviously a ranking based on how good they are. It all does factor in who they've played with and their quarterback. Also depends on who else is on their team in terms of what their, you know, scheme is and how much they're being targeted and things like that. But I do think it's interesting that you left Julio Jones, or you have Julio Jones on this list. You left Tyreek Hill off this list. and considering like the recency, I'm actually pretty proud of you. But I do think DK is more of a recency bias as well. But well, everyone, that is where we are going to end our podcast, because honestly, there's nothing you can follow up quite like a dog barking at every single person that comes to your door. Don't forget to use 2guys20 for 20% off on Manscaped. And Matt and Mello will be back. I think they will be back for a while, and you will not see them absent from this. But Blake, it might be a little bit before we see you on the show again. Thank you for coming on and braving, basically being on with your older sister, who's very bossy and a dominant personality. You've definitely held your own, and I appreciate you doing that. And I also love you very much. Just a reminder, tell people you love that you love them. Blake, any parting words?
Thank you for having me. I love you too, and I can't wait for the Twitter world to absolutely dissect any and all takes I had.
Yeah. People should send you feedback. What's your Twitter handle?
@TheRealBeRich. All right. That's me.
Love to see it. Thanks, guys.